No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we're here with A Boogie with the Hoodie. How you doing, bro?
I'm alright, man. Cooling. Just came out the stew.
Just came out the stew?
Yeah.
It is 5:32 p.m. You in there late?
I did two interviews before I came from the stew.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I mean,
after the stew.
Yeah, I'm tired.
What interviews did you do earlier today?
I did a wrap up. And what else I did? What's the first one I did? GQ, yeah.
GQ?
Yeah.
Damn, what do you think has more clout, doing No Jumper or doing GQ?
I feel like...
There's only one right answer here. GQ is probably the right answer.
I don't even know. Because I don't know, because it's jury. I'm kind of coming to an end on this too, man. Like, I'm not coming to an end, but I ain't too... I don't know.
Not as into it as you were?
Not, yeah. I'm into it, but I already got a lot of jewelry. It's just like pointless to keep on buying it now.
I mean, that might be sort of the new wave, because we all heard 21 said that he's not doing the jewelry thing anymore either.
Yeah, facts. So it's making it a good thing too at the same time.
Yeah.
It's late.
No, I think that's good, because it's like when he said it, he said, like, you know, he's trying to encourage like kids to make smarter decisions about their money and shit. So I feel like that was sort of it could be a good trend if it starts to sort of catch on. I like the idea of it.
Yeah, it could be a good trend. It is going to help some kids. But some kids is, like, hard-headed, too.
Right.
They don't care about that shit. They just want to get their ice.
When you were doing the GQ interview, though, like, do you like sort of presenting yourself as that, like, stylish? Like, because they don't really care about the music so much as, like, your image and the look, right?
Yeah. I'm into more fashion than jewelry, to be honest. I like... wearing different type of Givenchy, Louis, Birkin, Christian, Mary, Yardi.
Yeah, because I mean, you're coming from the Bronx. It's like, yeah, at a certain point, you know, if you make it in this world, you gotta celebrate a little bit.
Bro, that's a fact. A lot.
A lot.
At least just balance it out. I just realized that after a while, you gotta balance your lifestyle, man. For real. Like, gotta do some fun things sometimes. You can't just beat yourself up at work all the time.
You ever get into that mentality where you're sort of just like going too hard in the studio 24/7 and weren't enjoying life?
Yeah, it's crazy though, because I'm addicted to that shit, man. So I feel like that don't even faze me to be in there for like a day, 2 days, 3 days. Mm-hmm. I feel like...
But then all of a sudden you're in there for a month.
Yeah, like, for real. Like the same way a kid could be on a video game and wake up every single day and just get right on the game, it's the same way I like to go in the studio and lock in every single day, every hour of the day, just lock in. And it's fun to me. It ain't like it's just I'm doing it because I want to work. It's working at the same time, so it's for me making it more lit.
Yeah, because it can be hard when you're in that position. Like, I feel that way about, like, streaming and doing YouTube stuff. It's like, it's so fun, and I really genuinely enjoy it. And it's like, the best thing I could be doing from a business standpoint and stuff. But then at a certain point, it's like all of a sudden you realize, like, damn, the summer's almost over. I ain't been to the beach yet.
Yeah.
I ain't did anything fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to go to the club. You got to turn up a little bit.
Time is, like, the most important thing ever, like, for real, in the world. That's like everything.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you can't get back.
Yeah, that's a fact. And, like, I mean, you just know that you're going to get to a certain point in life and you're going to look back at the time that you spent maybe, like, working too hard or whatever, and you're going to be like, damn, I wish that I had more memories from that time.
That's a fact. I'm only 22. I feel like that already. No funny shit. I feel like, damn, I could be having way more fun. Like, I know money is important, though, but...
Don't you feel like, because you're 22, but like, okay, you've experienced being really fucking famous, you know, traveling all over the world, having all this nice shit. Like, a normal person that's got a 40-hour-a-week job and he's making 30 grand a year or whatever, I mean, he's looking at you and he's thinking, like, damn, if I had all those things, then I would be happy. You got all those things and you know that, like, those things aren't necessarily going to make you happy. It does improve your quality of life, but it's not the whole reason for living. True or false?
That's a fact, because, like, the more you get, the more you got to maintain. It's crazy, because when I ain't have nothing, it's like I ain't have nothing to maintain. I was just mad because I was broke.
Yep.
I mean, like, my worries now be like, damn, I gotta do this, take care of this person. She got a lot of loyal, this, that. After a while, that shit's just damn. But, for me, if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna fold.
Yeah.
Bro, you got.
Because at one point, you were just a kid, just hanging out, and you didn't have any opportunities. And if somebody had came up to you saying, hey, I got this way we can make some money, you might just be like, shit, all right, that sounds good. Now, I sure you wake up every day and you got a whole email full of money that you can make, or your manager got 1,000 different offers for you.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to make that for yourself, though. Like, you see how you get all the emails. Sometimes you just got to put that vision out there yourself and figure out what you really want to do. Because when you're doing that, I realize that you're taking, like, you're not really wasting time, because it's like, you getting paid and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really doing what you want to do for real. Like, for me, that's not really what I want to do. I want to get my own, for me, shows and pay them shits out myself. Bro. I don't want to need nobody in this shit.
Yeah. But, well, if you focus, like, 100% on the music and not on the actual business, or, like, you as your overall career, then you can kind of get lost in that shit, too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You got to be out. You got to be social. There's a lot of people that, like, could have made it big in the music industry and shit that, like, kind of fucked it up by just not being cool, not being around people, not making relationships, you know?
That's a fact. That's one thing that I had to get used to coming to the game. I ain't never do no interviews in the beginning. Like, I still have a hard time doing interviews sometimes. And I just, like, I got to really understand that it helps you. Like, I don't do nothing but help.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing, because a lot of times, like, being willing to do a good interview is just opening up and exposing yourself to the world and, like, just sort of showing your ass, not literally.
It's just talking. Word. It's like a regular convo. I used to look at it like, damn, like, you got to have, and you got to know the tips. Oh, shit.
You all right? Might need a new chair.
All right. I used to look at it like, damn, I need tips. I need interview skills. I need this, that. You don't need none of that. Just talk how you talk to a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah, that's always my goal, is just to sort of, like, expose. Because, like, you know, honestly, when you go to the studio and you're just listening to some rapper and, like, his friends just talk, the conversations that they have when they really feel, like, 100% comfortable with each other, it could be, like, some of the funniest shit you'll ever hear.
Crazy shit, for real. Some shit that you would never hear on.
Oh, yeah. Camera. Offensive shit that you would never be able to say on camera. Like, you know, wild ass shit about stuff that they saw, that if they were to say it on camera, it would just be straight up snitching. Just the craziest stories. I try to bring that energy into the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, no snitching, though. Let's talk about your early upbringing. Like, I want to know about sort of who you were as a young kid and what your family life was like and shit.
Yeah. I just, like, released a documentary from Netflix. It's called Rapture. Like, it really, like, shows that whole lifestyle.
You're in that? I didn't realize that. I've been looking at that thumbnail with Logic on it, staring back at me.
It's just crazy. Fuck. Yeah, that's like a big cover of my whole life story right there, I would have to say. It's just about how me and the label got together and did what we did, and It wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy. Was Orlando the dude who signed you?
Yeah.
So how did that meet? Like, how did he discover your talent early on and stuff?
It was a time when I used to go to clubs in New York and PNB Rock. We used to see him at a few clubs. And this one time I performed, and it was the same day he was performing. And he ended up staying to watch me perform. Like, yo, this nigga nice and shit. I mean, looking at me like, this nigga nice. And next thing you know, him and Orlando, I didn't know they worked together or none of that. But him and Orlando was, I think that was his A&R too or something.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing you know, Atlantic calling, like 300 calling. Everybody calling.
You didn't have any real, like, attention for people in the industry before that? That was kind of the earliest part?
Yeah, in the early part, I didn't really want... We wanted to do it independent, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we was gonna do it independent all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like... I can't say that is like, not possible, but it's hard work. And, man, So we felt like, damn, man, let's just do this shit, man.
Yeah, especially for the kind of music you're making, where I feel like your music has such potential to be really, really big. And songs don't usually get really, really big unless a label gets involved at some point and starts helping take it to radio, take it to, exactly, you know, all kinds of shit.
Unless you got gimmicks, and I don't got gimmicks. I just got good-ass music, so.
Right. And even all the guys with the gimmicks still have labels that are doing all the shit for them behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so, but like when you first started getting into music, like how did you get interested in it? Who were you listening to and shit?
I was listening to like 50, Jay-Z. This is a long time ago. I was probably like 13, 12, 11 years old. Not right. even 10 years old, 9 years old.
2006, 2007, that sort of era?
Or Kanye, Lauryn Hill.
I was on Dipset heavy, yeah, 2006, 2007.
Dipset. Even Dipset, word.
Hell Rel. Hell Rel, Bronx legend.
I see you, Shorty. She was.
Nah. She was crazy, right? Hey, we got to shout out Hell Rel. You know, I almost got a Hell Rel interview. That's my, yeah, probably
just,
my.
Hell Rel just shouted me out and some shit. Matter of fact, I forgot it was Instagram or some shit. I just saw a video that somebody showed me.
Oh, that's
it
fine.
It was you, matter of fact, right? Or it wasn't you that showed me.
Man, yeah, Dipset were running Harlem and the Bronx and shit back then. They definitely, they made it.
Cam, yep. Jewels, Jim Jones, Free Gazes.
Jim and Jewels got to stay out of trouble, though. They both fucking caught cases in like the last couple months.
It's crazy. Like, it's crazy that ass, though.
Yeah, they got to stay out of trouble. They're too old for that shit. Leave it to the young guys.
Not even the young guys. Like, yeah, young
they shouldn't
guys.
Do it either.
Word. That's like me doing that for me. That's like you saying, leave it up to me.
Well, at least like, okay, but if you got caught trying to take a pistol through customs like Jewels did, at least people would be like, oh, he's young, he don't know any better. With Jewels, it's like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? You gotta watch where that you're leaving your shit. You can't just be hopping through TSA.
Now,
with
I see how that could happen on like a rush. If you're in a rush and like a security got it for me.
I mean, I've definitely flown with like fucking blunts in my backpack and stuff.
Yeah, all the time by accident.
Yeah. It just happens.
Thank God that happened.
I know. It's always crazy when that happens, when people do get caught flying with weed, because I'm like, man, how'd that even happen? I've done it so many times. Get people getting caught for it?
Never heard of that.
I know a certain rapper that got caught because he had like a bottle with like 100 Zans in it and he wasn't thinking about it and he went through TSA.
That's bugged out.
But you always think that like they're not gonna look through a pill bottle or some shit. So I would have never thought that they would bust them for that.
Word. That's like Tylenol.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're studying these fucking pills, trying to figure out what it is. But I guess if they want to get you, they want to get you.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
So okay, you were listening to all that stuff that we were just discussing and stuff. Did you ever have any clue at that point that you might have more of like a singing style or that you might do something different in that regard?
Yeah, when I was listening to more of like Max B and that's when I started doing more of a melodic sound, like 50 Cent when he switched over to melodic and shit. I feel like that really made me do that the most. I was just rapping before that. I thought I had the most balls on the block for that shit. I mean,
hell yeah.
But yeah, that definitely kicked it right there. I was just talking to Max B too. He coming home soon. We gonna cook up. OD when he come out here.
Yeah, what is he trying to get on an appeal or what happened? Cause didn't they give him 75 years?
Yeah, they were trying to give him some shit, but blessings and yeah, hopefully he come out soon.
Yeah, man, that would be amazing. I feel like the kids definitely gotta know. We were talking about that the other day. Like if Bobby Shmurda got out right now, I feel like he would still be like really, really popular.
Swear, free Bobby too and Rowdy, cause they put some impact in the game. When they come to New York, they put some big impact behind us. Like
that was one of the biggest waves.
It was like a restart.
And it was just over as soon as it started. Like a couple months in, boom, it's over.
Bro, that was crazy.
That was a wild time in New York history, because that could have been like, you know, G-Unit or Dipset. We don't know where that movement necessarily would have gone, because it's been a while since there was like a young movement coming out of New York.
Yeah, exactly.
That's facts.
Exactly.
Okay, so... Yeah, like when you first started like actually recording music, like how'd you even get in the studio? Were you recording on your own or?
I first started off just writing. I used to write man raps in my notebook, but after a while I got boring. I don't think I could write no more. I could probably still write, but I don't try it no more because it's not that fun to me. Is when I go on freestyle or not. Mm-hmm. And I just get my, like, melodies out my head and just lay it down. You got to get it at the moment. If it ain't at the moment, it don't feel right.
You haven't written anything down in a long time?
Nah, I ain't writing probably about it almost like 10 months now, I have to say.
Are you the type to just sort of go in there and freestyle a while until you find something you like? Or do you just sort of, like, do you allow anybody else to be part of the process in terms of finding what flows you like the best out of what you freestyle in the booth?
Sometimes if I'm with a certain artist, if we doing a song, yeah, I'ma think about what vibes go off, like the other artist vibes best.
Right. Who have you worked with in the studio that you felt like you have really good, like, connection with?
The chemistry with probably Dirk, Thugger, PNB, Tory Lanez. Those and Don Q. Don Q was like the first one.
How'd you meet him?
For the block, who, Don Q?
Yeah.
Don Q was from he from Hybrid too. So it was like,
I was just watching him at Summer Jam.
A word?
On YouTube, yeah.
It's crazy.
There you go.
Or YouTube got everything.
Yeah. Nah, but he went out with you, and then he had like his own set, like opening up this year or something.
Yeah, he did good. Came out Flea, did his thing.
Got it. Okay, so how'd you meet him though?
I don't even remember exactly how I met him, but it's just from the block. I don't even remember how old I was. I was little. Mm-hmm. When I was little though, he was kind of older than me though. If I was in middle school, he was in high school. Like, I probably was going in. I was graduating elementary school when he was in high school. To be honest, like freshman probably something like that. But when I got older, I started hanging out in the older crowd, and just that's how it be when you. When you get like 15, 16, you just get a little older.
Yeah.
For real.
You were mentioning that 50 like was a little bit of an inspiration in terms of your whole singing thing. That's kind of interesting because I feel like he doesn't get credit for the fact that he was just coming with like wild ass like singing hooks for a long time, even on the mixtapes, and he was blowing up off that shit.
Exactly, he went crazy. He came in first on his straight gangster shit, just violating everybody in the industry, and then he just switched up on them with melodic, and like the melodic wasn't like singy, it was like he was just rapping, singing, like it wasn't even singing, he was just using his voice, like whatever he could do with his voice, he was using it.
And he was shitting on Ja Rule for singing.
Yeah, body and Ja Rule.
Were you ever a Ja Rule fan, or are you too young for that?
Nah, I was a Ja Rule fan too, yeah. Him and Ashanti, Throwbacks, Fire.
Yep.
Him and, what's that song? With him and I'm Always On Time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Body that.
You ever feel like you're looking for your Ashanti? Like you'd like to just have a girl that you do like fucking 10 songs with, and just have this like fake public relationship like through the music.
Never thought of nothing like that, but it's crazy. I just made a song for Ashanti, literally.
Really.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Metro. That's fucking bridging gaps. I guess Jay-Z and Beyonce are the modern version of that, except it's a real relationship. I mean, they just put out like a whole tape together.
But that's it. It's fire, too.
Yeah, it was fire. But I mean, you know, they have that like, it's kind of crazy because it's like they're just playing out their like relationship in public, like for the people to see, like just like giving you little piece by piece. They don't really give it to the tabloids, they give it to you through the music.
Yeah. And it's fun because people don't see. J and B, like behind the scenes and nothing. Like they just see like the work and the shows and this and that. Like I'm showing like just vacation skits and everything. Just that's fire right there.
Yeah, it's like everybody else is like overexposing themselves through Instagram and everything, and then they're just out here being like super, super rare.
Yeah, exactly.
And anytime they give you anything, it's always monetized. Mm-hmm. It's like a title exclusive.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't even fucking got title. I just.
Me neither.
I had it, and like every time I get it, it just somehow I lose a membership or something.
Yeah, I'd like to have it, but I just waited a couple of days, and then it was on Apple Music,
yeah,
and
too.
I was like,
I waited a couple of days. I ain't gonna lie, I keep it 100 on that.
You're an Apple Music guy or a Spotify guy?
Apple Music, but I listen to Spotify playlist sometimes because it's just a good playlist. And Apple Music, you gotta just type it in.
Yeah, I think Apple Music does have playlists too, but I feel it like they don't promote it as much. Yeah, all those apps are just confusing as fuck to me. If they were as easy to figure out as like Twitter or Facebook or some shit, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, I miss Facebook. I remember when I had a regular page. And now I can't even make a damn normal page no more. I can't see what's going on in the book.
Yeah, at a certain point, you got to switch it over. And
page, you can't even... Damn, that shit is whack.
See, Facebook is... It's like the place where you can go, where you can talk to people that knew you back in the day.
Yeah.
But then if you blow up, you're just... It's not going to work like that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even look at that shit anymore. But when I do, I see all this shit with my family and everything. And I'm like, damn, I should look at this more often. But if you look at it too long, it starts just showing you a bunch of cat videos and like weird memes and stuff.
Yeah, facts. And Instagram and Facebook and shit, it's just like a distraction, like a big distraction, I feel like, in life. A big ass. It's like, I feel like that's the biggest distraction ever in life.
Yeah.
Like the internet period, like since MySpace, Skonex, Facebook,
right.
Instagram, all that. I feel like that's the biggest distraction ever because it's just... The whole world, that's the whole world right there already.
It makes you so you never have to just be alone with your thoughts. Like if you could be walking down the street and just thinking about whatever might be going through your mind. You could have a clear head or you could have your phone out and you could be looking at what every single person that you know on the internet or whatever has to say.
Exactly. I feel like it's so real that if somebody like do some crazy shit, like I'm not saying specific, nobody, none, but if somebody do some crazy shit like make it so that if you look at your phone, you get hypnotized or some crazy shit like that. Like, everybody in the world will get hypnotized except for, like, 5%.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do with making, like, the notifications pop up and everything. They're always trying to get you to turn on notifications. They're always just trying to flash new numbers in front of you to get you to stare at your phone more, to feel like you have to look at your phone more.
Yeah, and all this, man, it'd be too much. You just feel like you got to scroll down and that. You ever been looking at your phone for so long? And you're like, what the fuck? You ain't even do nothing?
Yeah.
And you're like, damn.
For me, it's always like, oh, I wanted to go to the gym. And then I realized like 2 hours later, like I just looked at my phone for 2 hours. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Well, that was me before school. I used to wake up in the morning before school, look on the gram, scroll down, dumb long, comment on a few shit, like a few shit.
It's like fucking
school.
It's like shooting heroin or something. It's just this thing that just makes you feel good, that it doesn't accomplish anything. It's like social media is like a drug because it makes you feel good in the short term, but you don't really actually accomplish anything at all.
Right, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Unless you like using it.
Yeah, unless you're smart like us and you just make a career out of it.
Yeah.
But even then, though, that's just part of it. It's like, you know, yeah, you're good at Instagram and shit like that, but it wouldn't matter if you didn't have the music part.
Yeah, exactly. And we're just part of the cycle, too, about with this whole shit. Keeping it going.
That's a fact. But like, I guess kids just think that they're going to be able to sort of like look at Twitter all day and someday they're going to get famous.
Kids these days is crazy.
Yeah.
For real, for real.
I mean, you're 22, but you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot more than the average kid.
Yeah. These kids nowadays see a lot of shit too, though.
Mm-hmm.
I be looking at these kids nowadays like, damn, it's like they get younger and younger. Like higher the generation, like the more my generation get older, it's like the younger generation, the more we get older, they get more bad. Like,
mm-hmm.
This is crazy.
They got access to the internet. So they're just finding out, like, why, if you're 13 years old these days, it's fucking easy to just go and find out about all this drugs, sex stuff, everything. Like, you'd have to be kind of fucking dumb to not be able to figure out where to go look at porn if you're like 13 or 14.
Or I was spanking my shit when I was like 11.
See, we didn't have the internet, so if I wanted to go look at a naked woman when I was like 11, 12 years old, I had to like find a dirty magazine in the woods or something, and we did.
That's crazy. Yep. Man, I felt bad. That's crazy.
We'd fold it up, put it in your back pocket or something, just like a picture of a boob. We would be looking at National Geographic, just looking at these women in these villages and shit, because they'd have their nipples out, and we'd just be like, we were just fascinated, because there was nowhere else that you could see a boob, you know?
Nah, that's bugged out.
A lot of people, at my age, I think that was a pretty common experience too, which is weird because as I say it, I'm like, man, what a weird thing that we used to do. Oh, man. Okay, so now that you've actually like Well, okay, let me ask you this. Where do you feel like you're at in your career? Because it's like you've had a lot of big songs. You've had a lot of hits. You sold a lot of records and stuff. But it's like you could take your career in a lot of different directions, and you could either look at your career like, damn, I've accomplished a shitload, or you could look at it like, I got a long way that I want to go. Like, what's your perspective on it when you sit back and think about it?
Yeah, I got a long way I want to go. I feel like this is just the beginning. It's a process. It's no overnight process, and I ain't never going to give up. Anything I say, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because your new project, you went in like a totally different direction.
Yeah, it's just like I need more followers. I need more fans from different countries. I need more different environments when I go to my shows. I need everything. So I wanna try new things, like international projects and joining African artists, Spanish artists, and for me, all types of shit like that. And it's a good way to lead into my album, for real. Like, even though it don't got nothing to do with the album, mm-hmm. That's what it's crazy about. Like, that's what's crazy about it, because it's like, this is what they've been waiting for. Mm. For real. Like, this shit right here, I'm about to drop in September, is what they've been waiting for. And they gonna want more after it, but.
Yeah. Do you feel like.
I got them for now.
Were you worried about the potential for, you know, your fans to get confused by you putting out like a side sort of project that is different from like your more hip hop or urban sound and stuff?
Nah, you can't be scared to take risk. That's like being. Like, it's being soft. Yeah, like, you got it. Even if it's like, unless it's like just a dumb move.
Right.
For me, but that ain't no dumb move. It just depends on how you do it. And yeah, it's working for me so far. A lot of fans from overseas is hitting me up, and everything's looking good. Numbers looking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because like when you're in that sort of world, if you have a hit, it's like a real hit. Like, right. Those songs go fucking crazy.
For real.
You grow up like exposed to a lot of international music in your neighborhood or through your parents or anything?
Nah, I grew up just nothing but New York music, not barely South music. That's why it's crazy. Like, that's why I didn't really know that much about certain artists coming up, because I just bumped nothing but New York and probably a couple Atlanta artists, and that was probably it. Mm.
How do you feel about the strength of like New York hip hop today in terms of the scene?
It's different nowadays, of course though, but it's mad different right now. It ain't never been like this before.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it used to be just. How you explain it? It used to be just we rapping. We talking about this, we talking about that, we talking about and if somebody got static, we they going at it with the beef track pros, with the diss tracks.
Well, you used to look at rap as more of like a street thing. Like, this is sort of for people that are like from the streets. Now it's like, it seems like anybody can get involved in this shit, huh?
Yeah, now it's like, for example, like me. You would never expect somebody to come out the Bronx after all that gangster shit. You would never expect somebody to come out the Bronx singing, talking about they heartbroken, and people really listening to a nigga that got his heart broken and talking about that shit.
Yeah.
Like, people really listening to that and like embracing it and really like thinking about it, like, damn, there's some real shit right here. Mm-hmm. And like coming from the streets though. So I feel like it's like really, really changing from that point of view, and many more, like from other artists' point of view. Like, I'ma go to a Cardi B point of view now. She made this shit so big. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. She made this shit. I don't even see it going no bigger when it comes to female artists, and she did that for New York. So that's like, that's love right there. That's crazy. And then you could look at it on like a 6ix9ine point of view, and like, it's kind of like the same in a way when you think about it, it's just like I get it how you get it kind of way for me, like with then how you explain this shit. I'm smiling.
I mean, they both make really like dope music, but then they also have that big character, that big personality where they understand how to troll, how to fuck with people.
Exactly. Like 6ix9ine is the king of trolling. Like that's him right there. He the king of that shit. Like I don't see nobody out here right now that's bigger than him with that trolling shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that made New York kind of different too. So it's different in mad ways now. It's like you could look at it like that. So it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about 6ix9ine, like he might be the most extreme version, but when you think about New York, it's like there's a lot of sort of like, not like goth, fucking weird, like Hispanic kids. And he kind of really represents that, like the crazy ass, like there's just a lot of like weird kids in New York. He represents that.
Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy buzzing.
How'd you meet him? Or like, how'd you guys end up working together?
I met him in London. He was in London and I had a show. What's the name of that show? We had him in London. He can't hear me, fuck it. We had a show in London. What was that in London?
In London?
Yeah, what show was that?
That was in December.
You don't remember the place? Huh? You don't remember the place?
Brixton.
Electric, yeah, I remember that word, Electric. It, I brought him out for the show, and it was like, damn, they was going crazy for this nigga. Like, that was my first time meeting him, too. Matter of fact, we did a song before that. I went to the studio and we cooked up and everything. I mean, cool kid. Like, nothing like the internet.
A different song or the one that we all know?
Kiki. Yeah, we did that song. Do we got any more songs? Nah, we don't got no more songs. But we went to the show after that in London. And nigga, that shit was just like crazy, crazy lit. He jumped in the crowd, came back out like, yo, jump in with me. He jumped in again. Nigga throwing water, wilding. I'm like, nah, this nigga crazy. So I fuck with that energy right there, for sure. I feel like he gonna take it, like he gonna go a long way if he sticks to how he doing it with this overseas thing.
Yeah.
Because like in America, he kind of made himself like America's most hated.
Yeah, he's a little radioactive in certain areas right now, I guess. But I mean, he keeps going to those places and shit don't happen to him. So I mean, at least for the time being. I mean, I guess he's all right.
Yeah.
You worry about him when you see him acting all crazy, going to Chicago, going to people's hoods, fucking people's baby mamas? You ever think, like, damn, that might not be a good idea?
He know what he doing. he plot that shit. I don't know what the fuck his blueprint be, but he know what he doing. He set it up for me.
You ever think about sort of going more, like, viral, like, you know, dyeing your hair or, like, doing some wild shit on Instagram?
Nah. Nah, that's stepping out of my character. Like, I mean, that's not my character.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah, it's kind of like there's got to be a lane for like just a cool dude who like ain't gonna like necessarily jump out the window.
Well, I feel like I'm changing like my whole thing with visuals now. I ain't dropping no videos in a little minute. I'm working on my whole image with visuals right now, so no more regular shit with that.
Mm.
And that's a big part of my movement right now when it comes to like hitting up the, that different lane, that crossover.
Yeah. In terms of your new project that's yet to come out, do you feel like you're going in a different direction like sound-wise? Because I noticed that a lot of your songs that I find myself the most addicted to are the ones that have pianos in the beats.
Yeah.
Something about that. I like it, just like you apparently like it.
That's how I came out. I came out not wanting to do no beats that didn't have a piano, and if it didn't have a piano, I didn't want to do it.
It's a different sound. It's kind of like more timeless sounding in a weird way.
Yeah,
it's kind of like sophisticated.
And it like matches my tone of voice perfect.
Right.
So I did a whole bunch of songs with pianos. Now my new album coming up, I'm more on like a guitar. Still pianos, but I'm more on like a guitar thing, piano vibe, talking like more of my lifestyle, like not even like my lifestyle, my life.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the lifestyle, like my life. Like talking lifestyle too, but a lot of people want to know more things about what's going on in my life, what I be what I be doing, what I be thinking about, what I be going through, and I don't for me talk about it that much. So I figure I just put it out in my music and let them hear it like that.
Yeah. Did having a baby change you?
Yeah, having a baby made me. Yeah, it made me feel like a. It made me feel like a dad.
Like you got a reason for doing all this shit?
Yeah, I got a big reason for doing all of this. It's not like I didn't have one before, but now it's like I'm doing it for someone, another person now. It's like, and I want to do it for this other person. I don't want to. It's like I have to and want to. It's for me, like your mom, you know how you get rich, move your mom out of the hood. That's a mandatory. Like this is like a mandatory. You gotta take care of your kids. You gotta be there for them. You gotta, for me, being there for them is like, it's like you gotta balance that out when it comes to, it's like right here, you gotta make sure you always got time for your kids. Like, even though you just trying to grind and make money for them, it's important to spend time with them too.
You ever have the conversation about how much you're gonna sort of like expose your family life or your kid to the world? Because I noticed that your kid has a lot of followers already.
Yeah, my kid got a lot of followers. It's crazy though, cause I ain't even wanted like that. I never wanted my family to be out there like that, but it was happening. So I just like, fuck it, I went with it.
Your girl was just like having too much fun with it, and you couldn't stop her.
Yeah, it was too much Instagram followers, too much likes, and I couldn't keep up with it. I was like, damn, Melody got like, honey, how much followers she got on the gram right now?
See, I wrote down that it had 127K, but I also wrote that down a few months ago. 200K something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's pretty good. There's a lot of girls out there doing crazy stuff trying to get 200K.
Word.
That's a cheat code. That's a cheat code in life right there. Yeah, fuck. Oh, yeah. You know, I got to ask about this because this is like, you know, we have a lot of fans who are sort of like underground rap fans and stuff. And for a minute there, man, I thought that you were about to become like the biggest enemy of the underground kids and stuff because of the situation with Lil B. I feel like we got to address that a little bit, at least figure out where the situation's at nowadays.
Yeah, I feel like that situation is, I feel like some Lil B fans still got a little towards that.
Some of the most hardcore fans will never forget anything.
I still see a little bit of comments. I'd be like, damn. Like.
I mean, I feel like your fan bases probably don't overlap that much. So a lot of people, when that shit happened, they were like, who the fuck is this A Boogie guys? You probably fans from it, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I never even knew about that type of fan base for real. Like, you learn new shit every day, and that was some new shit I learned.
Right. You just like what that, because I feel you, like that just probably wasn't the kind of thing. And you're pretty young to like be like Lil B. That was like 6-7 years ago that he popped off. And he is a legend, but he's a legend in like sort of specific world. Like, you know, a lot of people might not necessarily know about it. You didn't really know that much about him. Were you mad when he said the shit about you on Twitter?
Yeah, that's when I was kind of just still learning, though. I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of mad, and I did some foolish reactions. And I grew up as a man since then. Like, can't just do shit like that for real. Like,
right.
Missed out on a lot of money.
Really? You think you have kind of a worse image in terms of corporate shit or what?
Yeah, I feel like anything I do, any little thing I do that's bad, like, they gonna be on me for it. But when somebody with that image right do that shit, it's like, that shit cool. That's why it's crazy for my image. Like,
yeah, that is true. When you think about somebody like 6ix9ine, he's out here doing all this crazy ass shit that's a million times worse than anything you've ever been involved with, but you get judged by very different levels, you know? Yeah, I feel that. So what was that like after it went down, like in terms of like, because you guys eventually had like a conversation about it?
Yeah, we had a convo about it. We spoke on the phone. We had like a meeting on the phone, and we spoke about it, and it was cool after that.
That's good.
I never linked him after that though, and it wasn't like that. It's just for me, it's a busy schedule. But yeah, we was good after that.
And I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I think Dej Loaf was hard. So, if somebody compared me to Dej Loaf, I'd be like, all right, fuck it.
Nah, it wasn't even about that. Like that comparison. I like that comparison. Mm-hmm. For me, I wasn't mad about that. I was mad about like
just in general.
Yeah, in general, like. And you're talking crazy.
Yeah, but it's like, it kind of, that all of a sudden makes it make a lot more sense to me, because Lil B like always has just said crazy ass shit on Twitter. Like, whether it's stuff that he's 100% serious about, he's always just been the dude who would just say some out there shit. So if you weren't really like familiar with the way that he uses Twitter, you could definitely see that and be like, what the fuck? You want to talk shit about me? All right.
That's what happened with me. I wasn't familiar with that. And
right.
When like that happened, I just like, I don't know. I wasn't into that.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like for people like to see him get jumped, like the way people perceive him, like his fans and like the people who know about him, like really just think of him as being like the kind of guy that would never get into a situation like that. So I feel like that's why it became such a big story for a while.
It's crazy because me too, though, like my fans wouldn't really look at me like that, like to do some shit like that. But
I mean, you are from the streets, but yeah, people probably thought that you wouldn't be the type to necessarily get into it like that.
To be honest, that's what I said too. I said like, and when you say certain things in your songs, and then you do it, like, you can't look at it like, what the fuck? Said that shit before.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Like, you feel like, man, like I talk about like street shit in my music, and like, I guess you guys didn't notice.
Or I understand this shit 100% now, though. It's just about being a bigger person and like having people not being scared of you. And I don't want nobody to be scared of me. Like, for me, I'm a cool person. I wanna for me, show love to everybody that wanna show love to me is, for me, show love. But
hell yeah.
It's just hard to get that that right path without no guidance. In the beginning, it was just straight. All I know is High Bridge. All I know is High Bridge, the Bronx. Let me tell you something real quick. In the Bronx, I don't know about nowhere else, but this is probably the only place I know where you could really be walking and like fucking, matter of fact, fuck all, like the Bronx and New York got the most fights over stairs.
Oh yeah.
Like stairs. Yo. Like literally, like, what you looking at? What the fuck is you looking at? What is you looking at? What the fuck is you looking at? Deck or cut or shoot. Like the dead ass though, like other places people look at you and they say hi, like.
Yep.
That shit is crazy. It's like a mentality thing. It's New York mentality is crazy.
Yeah, I was living in Brooklyn for years, and then I remember I just went down to Austin, Texas, and I like was at the post office, and they're just like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Damn." In New York,
shit feel good. Like,
yeah.
I went to Florida. Fucking neighbors say hi to me and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "That's crazy."
I mean, the post office in New York is bulletproof glass. In Austin, it's like you could just shake hands with the fucking guy at the post office. And he seems happy to be there. In New York, it's like nobody's pretending to be happy to work at the post office. They're just like, no, I'm looking at the ground. I'm just doing it.
Yeah. Bro, certain people just got to understand that, though, too. Like, it's hard to understand certain things, man. Especially when you ain't there and in the shoes and shit.
Do you think that you were the first person to compare pussy to mac and cheese in a song?
I saw it in a video. Matter of fact, I saw a video, yeah. I saw a video, right? Somebody mixing macaroni in a bowl. Sounded crazy. And it sounded crazy, like crazy. And the caption said some shit like that, like some shit about that. Yeah, some freaky shit. And I was like, yeah, that's facts. I put my eyes away, just heard it. I'm like, yeah, that's facts. For real.
No, I mean, that just like was like every once in a while you hear like a metaphor or a lyric that like just sticks with you in your head, and then you also like hear other rappers just sort of take it and use it for their own purposes too.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cycle with that one. Yeah.
Crazy.
Hip hop is a whole cycle. We all talk about the same shit. Like certain people go different places. Like Extension was one person that really went a lot of different places. I gotta give respect when it's due, because he talked about like depression for little kids that people wouldn't even have no idea they depressed. Like, you a kid, like, why are you depressed? And, but they really depressed inside, for me. Like, nothing you can do about it. But he really hit topics like that. When artists like me, I still hit topics like my jewelry and motherfucking the money and for me. I talk about real stuff too, but it's like a cycle. Music, hip hop repeats itself. You all talk about the same stuff, for real. Like, grew up in the hood, it's police.
I got a
police
gun.
Police lock people up. We had to have guns because, yeah.
We're going to the Gucci store.
Static with us. Yeah,
Hop in.
Yeah, we was broke before, now we rich. Yeah. I got all this motherfucking
I'm in the studio for a really long time, like just like summarizing like every rap lyric.
Same shit, man. For real, it's all the same shit. It's just different melodies and different ways you say it.
How'd you feel when you heard about X passing away?
I didn't even fucking believe it at first. For real, I felt like that shit was crazy. Like you don't see things like that.
Oh, you had met him and shit too, huh?
Yeah, I met him before.
I forgot because you were on the cover.
We met on the cover. That was a... Wait, was it? I don't think that was the first time we met, matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
I met him on a boat one day. He came on my boat. He was in Miami.
Well, because him and P&B spent a bunch of time together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys, Orlando, too.
Same
P&R and shit.
Yeah, we linked a few times. And it's crazy because you really, really never would expect something like that to happen. Like... rapper get hit up in his car
over some dumb shit.
And it's like, it's crazy because it's his own hometown, and that's where it's like people hear that shit all the time. When you don't leave your city and shit, that's when shit happens and shit.
Yeah, you remember that phone call with Meek telling Kodak, like, if you don't leave your city, they're gonna kill you?
Yeah, that's real shit.
I keep thinking about that.
That's real shit for real, for real.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so. I don't know, what are you excited about in life at this point? You just excited about this new project? Or like, what's the stuff that's that you want the world to know?
Yeah, I'm excited about this album, September 29th. That's all I know right now. Every day I'm in the studio recording, back to back, back to back, back to back. If I ain't doing an interview or nothing else, I'm recording. Or no play, just straight work right now.
Fire. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm glad we finally got this interview done, because last time I was supposed to do it, I got fucking food poisoning. I couldn't do it.
Or that's crazy.
Food poisoning, dude. I was puking for days. That was terrible.
Can I be honest with you, too?
Yeah.
I tried to postpone this shit just now, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I was so tired, bro.
For real? Damn. Yeah. That makes me feel lucky that we got it.
Well, I had to tell you after this shit, because I was up for a minute.
Yeah, because when you were talking before, you were just acting like, I'm just so tired. I've been up for so long. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's like 5. BET Awards. Ooh, that's a really good point.
Day before that, I was up. I ain't even go to sleep since before that.
Right.
Well, LA is crazy. It's like the time changes, and then you got busy shit to do again, and it's like, damn. Right now, it's supposed to be like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in New York.
I cannot imagine what it's like to stay up for a couple of days without drugs being directly involved. I'm going to be real with you. But hey. Shit. All right. Hey, I'm glad we got this out of the way. You want to send any shout outs out there? Or you want to?
Free Montana, free V12, free Pee Wee. Shout out to my moms. Free Cardinal. free Seti.
Free the guys.
Free the guys. You're ready, man. Hybrid's the label. We out here.
Hey. BX. Shout out to the Bronx. Shout out my guy, Oba Stanley. That's one of my friends from the Bronx. And Skinny. My homie Skinny from back in the day in the Bronx, too. I got a good collection of Bronx friends.
He's Skinny?
He was Skinny.
You know, that would be fire if his name was Skinny and he fat. That would be fire.
That would be fire. And actually, the more I think about it, he's from Brooklyn. Fuck. All right. A Boogie Interview in the books. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.
No selfies. We out here.
No selfies. Peace. I'm